Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now, Eric, I'm sure you're looking at the same thing that I'm seeing when you go through the junior sector in terms of especially precious metals stocks, but you can even look to some of the other commodity stocks as well. And it's a pretty rough day for stocks again. This is, I think, the second day this week that we have seen a lot more selling come in broadly to the metals stocks. Now, I want to look at it from what I think a lot of precious metals investors, a fully invested investor, one that is holding these stocks, one that thinks these stocks are cheap and quite frankly need to get revalued higher. However, you're seeing these moves today where it is a lot of red on the screen. Very few stocks I am seeing are up. Some that are up are actually up on the back of some news. So you can take that as a positive sign. But overall, still, it's not a good day for the precious metals stock investor, the one in the juniors. What do you do in days like this? Again, putting yourself in the shoes of a person that's focused in this sector that's fully invested.
I mean, I have a simple approach, really. I mean, I look at sentiment and I use it more as a, let's say, roadmap to like, yeah, okay, we're not even close to a sentiment high or we're near a sentiment low, etc. That's more to bring some added comfort, let's say, in this chaotic and volatile sector. But otherwise, it's like always, down to valuation. It's like, I refuse to sell something that's cheap. And if said cheap thing, whatever company it is, it can get a lot cheaper. It can stay cheap for a lot longer. I mean, I've seen this is not even the worst correction I've seen. And every time before, every previous time, I did exactly that. Just held out. And the most frustrating thing is obviously when you're fully invested. But it's like, it works out anyway. I mean, there are two things you can pretty much control or know. That's price you pay, and the sentiment always changes. That's the only thing you can really control. Everything else is, there are a thousand scenarios for any stock and how the market reacts to the news of any stocks.
Eric, hold on. Let me jump in here. What do you mean there are a thousand scenarios for every stock? Because quite frankly, when you're playing an explorer, there, I feel like, are a much fewer number of potential scenarios here. One being that they hit, make a massive discovery, everything is great and it moves higher. And then a bunch of other scenarios, unfortunately, that aren't as positive for a stock.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking, if let's say down to judgment, sure. But I mean, any drill hole can show, a million different widths and grades, etc. So that's where, like, you have to obviously, I don't know. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like we talked about off air, is that yes, there are some catalysts, etc., that you can predict, and that's actually what I like about exploration stories. That yes, they're high risk depending on what valuation you actually buy them at. Because I mean, people just assume, well, if they miss, that's high risk, or if the results are not great. Yeah, but it's a big difference if you're paying 100 million for a company, and at another time you're paying 10 million for the exact same, let's say, company, and it's up or down. I mean, this is an extreme case. So it's like, what is risk in that case? I mean, risk to me is overpaying. But then you have the actual catalyst that can, bring significant implied upside or downside, depending again on where the valuation is. Because I mean, if you overpay for a stock, even if they drill the hole you hope for, I mean, it can still be overvalued, basically. And right now, it's like, what is priced in this sector? I see de-risked projects. I see advanced projects. That's like, you couldn't redo that success because it would not make sense today. Spending X amount of millions, X amount of years, being extremely lucky even to find it, and then you have it priced at whatever level is priced today. So it's like, this sector is totally dumb. It's totally irrational. This is not going to last, obviously. It's like supply-demand picture for one thing. And you have this shortages across metals across the board. I mean, this is the most stupid sector there is on Earth, I think, especially right now at a sentiment low. It's like, I refuse. You'll have to shoot me to get me to sell, or a friend to shoot me to get me to sell, any or the average unit in this environment. And I don't care if it's going to be 1 or 2 years more of this shit, because they're so cheap that they are going to go up one day, like they always do.
Now, Eric, how do you judge valuations when we're dealing with juniors? In a way, you can, I think, judge valuations when a company has an asset in the ground and you can value those ounces in a dollar amount to what the market cap is. That does vary widely because all deposits are different and all jurisdictions are different. But true explorers, how do you even put a valuation on it if they don't even have a resource?
That's a great point, because they are, I mean, most juniors will forever be trading sardines, whether we know, and we can't know that now. I mean, there are projects one might think is going to bring some value and be put into production. But if that gets into production in 40 years, in hindsight, then obviously it should be valued at zero now. So that's the reality we're living in. We're constantly in a twilight zone where there's potential and one has to guess a bunch of scenarios, etc. But I just typically look at, okay, there are mature companies. They're very cheap right now. I mean, let's say a company is selling for 10% of the NPV. And of course, right now with the rampant inflation, those NPVs might not be, fair, let's say. Typically, gold price is much higher right now than when they were done, etc. But costs are way higher. But I prefer to play in the growth stories with probable upside. And that's also a good and a bad thing, because they will be more sentiment driven and the rubber will hit the road at zero results, etc. But as long as they just have some momentum, let's say. I mean, look at Great Bear, for example. They didn't even put out a resource, but they had increased their ounces, let's say. So there you have
Hitting. Great Bear just went out and just kept on hitting and kept on showing that it was high grade over a long width. But that's an extreme example. Not many companies do that. Very, very few companies do that.
And even Great Bear had like a 2 year period of downtrending action. Even though the project itself got better and better, at least more de-risked until Kinross actually acquired it. So it's like this is in some ways the most ethereal sector there is, especially exploration space. Because in Great Bear's case, for example, you never had an exact number to point on, like evaluating value. Okay, and again, what can you control? I can't control a lot of things. I can control two things: price I pay, and that sentiment always changes. And then I just have to, okay, do I think this? I mean, to just make it really simple, do I think that in the next 12 to 24 months, this company will be worth more? Intrinsically, will they have hit something more? And then it's up to the market to like agree with you or not. But it's like to keep it really simple, I think that's actually the best way. It's like there's so many things we cannot control, so I try to boil it down to like the simplest. Do I think they will keep hitting?
How do you know that? How do you know if they're going to keep hitting? That's the tough thing. Or if they haven't even hit already, well, what do you use as a barometer to give you confidence that they will make a discovery?
I mean, that depends on the system, etc. But then it also, I mean, comes down to, again, price. What am I paying? If I just, pretend, visualize, okay, fast forward 6 months, let's say, in whatever stock. Okay, what do I think will have happened by then? Okay, I think, I have a base case, let's say. What is priced in right now? What's the sentiment right now? Because, like, in my opinion, the way to beat this market is to, like, Eric Sprott says, see the future early. Because the market is pricing in short-term expectations. It's not pricing in long-term expectations. I'm buying because of my long-term expectations and paying the price set by short-term expectations. So if I see a big expectation arbitrage, let's say, for a base case scenario. So maybe I'm sitting here thinking there's a 70% chance this is going to be probably worth 150% more. And let's say, you know, base case that it will be up 150% in 6 months. I mean, you could be wrong on a lot of those stocks, but if you buy cheap enough, it's like, and since we know that sentiment is going to change as well, I mean, that's a huge thing. So we have a tailwind that we know that the tide has not even come in yet. I mean, I could buy 50 microcap stocks, hold them until the sentiment indicators I use reach a typical medium-term high. I'm 99% sure I'll be up without doing anything. So we have that like in the back pocket, let's say. But who knows? Maybe the scenario for a company plays out, but we're still in this depressed environment or even lower. Yeah, okay, that's going to be more weight in that case. But if the company, the base case has played out somewhat, I mean, if you have 20 stories and they start to converge, let's say, because you've been fairly right on average. I mean, okay, your company's worth more. Let's say they are as cheap. I mean, that's just a better, even better case. And if they reach that point, they're probably like with, you know, projects that they tend to, let's say, get better or whatever as they, you know, like, okay, Great Bear is obviously an extreme example. So, but there are systems, et cetera, that can just get bigger and bigger. I mean, look at Eloro. That's just growing and growing and growing and growing, basically. I mean, positive surprise after positive surprise after positive surprise. So when price went down over the last 1.5 year or whatever, what did I do? I was just buying, because I don't think the base case scenario I have for the future Eloro is not anywhere near priced in.
Eric, how are you so sure that sentiment is going to change? Because in all fairness, there is some pretty good sentiment for metal stocks. It's just the bigger metal stocks. Why are you so confident that this sentiment is going to carry down into the juniors? Without a time frame, but just in general, because you have made the comment that a lot of these stocks are trading sardines, the juniors. So how does that balance out with eventually sentiment's going to get that much better?
Well, I guess it's mostly, it's like, I mean, if you have a glass that's almost empty, what's the biggest delta and what's the biggest impact change, let's say? I mean, it can get full again. That would obviously be a lot higher delta than something that's nearly empty getting, you know, totally empty or whatever. I mean, just think like the, or I try to think like this. Some company, some microcap juniors out there, they're cashed up, etc. If they get cut in half, there are a bunch of microcappers that will be trading near zero enterprise value. Okay, so I noticed like, okay, how often does that last? I've seen a few times over a few months, etc., bear market of 2015, where I've seen that happen. So that's kind of, let's say, environment lasts, I don't know, you can see that perhaps 3% of the overall time over the last two decades or whatever, so 97% will be better. Okay, that kind of puts the risks to the upside. And again, it's like, what is the outlook for this sector out there? We're not finding enough stuff, and we're consuming more and more stuff. So this is just an increasingly ticking time bomb. And of course, a lot of crap can happen with ESG or whatever. I mean, some jurisdictions, they'll shut down mining, sure. But then the ones that can actually, where you can actually put it in a mine, let's say, that's just going to increase even more in implied value. So it's like, I think the risks are to the upside, have been for months now. And I don't see, it's like, to me, it's kind of, you know, past the point of no return, because if they're so cheap now, what do I do if they get 50% cheaper? How can I justify selling if enterprise value is zero or whatever?
No, you're stuck. If it gets 50% cheaper, you're stuck, right? Then if you sell, you admit you're wrong. But if you hold, then you can hopefully say that you're right when it goes up later on in a different sentiment environment. Eric, I get what you're saying here is that you see sentiment as essentially washed out, near a low, maybe at a low for a lot of these junior stocks. I don't know personally if we are at that sentiment low, because there is still some money coming into the sector and there are still some stocks doing well. It is not a great sentiment environment though, but right now, look, the fact of the matter is these juniors have lagged, and they've been cheap for a while, and they keep getting cheaper, some of them. That's just the environment that we are in, and it sounds like you just continue to accumulate at these levels. It's just tough for some other investors who are fully invested, who continue to see their portfolio go down when we do hear about the fact that, oh, it'll come back. It's going to turn around. Fact of the matter is, I do actually think it will too. I think there will be money filtering down into the juniors, and that's why we are seeing some juniors do well. But it has been a very slow process. So hopefully that means we're early stage of this, but we do need to understand that we can't control sentiment. And when sentiment maybe doesn't favor some of the juniors, it doesn't matter what kind of news they're putting out. It can be a tough market. So we'll wrap it up here, Eric. But look, it's always interesting hearing what you're looking at in these markets. And hopefully we just get to that environment where everything starts moving higher. But we're not quite there yet. Who knows when we'll be there? There's a lot going on in the world that other people are quite frankly distracted by. Eric, thank you as always for your time, man. I always enjoy chatting with you. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
The same, Corey. And I mentioned Loro. I own shares of it, and they are a sponsor, so consider me biased.